I sure thought I saw him. Folks used to say, preacher looks like Andy Griffin. Then he changed to look like Matlock. But when you get to the point I'm at, you don't care. I'm going to probably get into a little bit of a Bible study. We'll see. I think Brother Mike Case got me a couple of young men with microphones. I want to send one over to Bob Christian first, and right over to the wall over here near the nursery. Raise your hand, Bob. Some of these young men don't know you. He used to be and he is still a deacon, but he was a deacon here with us for years, and I just wanted him to give us a word of testimony and tell me if it's still snowing up that way.
Well, it quit snowing before we left. It's supposed to have snow on Thursday again, I guess. Doing well at the church, still deacon there. I did have my second knee replaced this January, so I'm getting recovered from that. Took 2 days to drive down, usually only take one, guess I'm getting older. But last night when we stopped, I thought, I'm not even going tomorrow. But it's better today.
Amen.
Church is just a small church, still preaching the gospel though, and using KJV and Amen. Fundamental and independent and all that.
Amen.
Just happy to be back here, just down for a little visit, coming a little bit to see Lucy and see how she's doing.
Amen.
And waiting on the newest great-grandchild, I guess, to show up.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll be back.
Amen.
And just want to thank the church here. Just we watched it because I was in rehab, putting in rehab per se, but I wasn't doing anything, just laying around. I did watch you on the internet, heard it about 2 months, and then we watched the Restore-a-thon, of course.
Amen.
And just thank for Brother Carter and all he stands for. And just pray that he'll continue to go on.
Amen. Judy, do you want equal time?
I'm bashful.
All right, thank you, Bob. We would love to see him back down here, but faithful to the Lord up there and serving God up there. And it has been colder up there where they were. Somebody else want to share a word tonight? I might, we've got a couple of young men here. If you feel a testimony coming on, Art Hector's right here. Turn around, let him get the microphone, Daniel.
Well, for all three of the mornings, I was on the phone taking phone calls from the people who were pledging. And immediately when the song was over to start off the Restore-a-thon, the Good Morning song, immediately the phone rang. And it was just like, well, here we go. And later that day, I received a call from a lady who was pledging, but she wanted it in memory of her husband. And she, after she pledged, she said, I want to thank the radio station because for years my husband and I were listening, and it's such a blessing. And she even started crying, and she said, and now he's gone home to heaven, but I'm listening, and I remember him and all this stuff. And it was just a blessing. And then another huge blessing was I got to be a part of that perpetual phone blitz.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah,
as soon as I would get off the phone, another call would come in. It was just absolutely amazing. All of Restore-a-thon, just everything that happened was just absolutely amazing. I'm so glad that God blessed there.
In fact, somebody else might want to give a testimony in regards to Restore-a-thon, even if you were working or not working. If you saw the film a while ago, some of you got caught napping up there. A few things. Anybody else want to raise your hand? We'll get to you, all right? All right, Keith right here.
I really enjoyed getting to be a part of the end of the Restore-a-thon this year. Last year I was working, I wasn't able to be there. And it was so exciting, and I'm not going to lie, this year I was kind of doubtful if we were going to meet the goal or not, because I knew the radius wasn't quite as wide as it was usually, and watching each day I don't know the word you would call it, but this money as it's being raised, and I knew it wasn't quite as normal. And so I was thinking, you know, man, we're going to see, Lord, please keep all of us encouraged when we don't reach the goal and all that. And then the last night, seeing what God did, it was just amazing. So I'd like to praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Yeah, we were underpowered some this year, quite a bit, really. And we're still praying about getting that fixed. Brother Nixon up there.
Is it on? There it goes. All right. Yeah, I've been here just a little while, and this church is amazing. I told the choir Sunday night, year after year after year, we set these high goals, and God uses us to make them. And it's an amazing thing. Most of you know I've been traveling around the world for the last 4 years. I'm staying home now most of the time. But there I was in Korea, and guess what? I had 90.3. Here I was in Italy, and guess what? I had 90.3. Even in New Jersey.
That's a miracle.
In Chicago. Wow. But it's just an amazing thing. You know, if you stay here all the time, you don't understand unless you leave here. You know, every button in my car except one is set on WLVF. You say, how come that one? Well, that's the Gator radio station, so. But God has been such a blessing here, I mean, for me. I see people younger than me that are in terrible physical trouble. I do a weird thing. I count the people younger than me on the obituary page every day. I know, that's weird. But God has kept me going and going and going, and just to be able to work for him and praise him and have a wonderful pastor like I've got, and the people here that put up with me, except for Phil Pitts. I had to get him, didn't I? All right. So it's just been a wonderful blessing, and I praise God for that radio station.
All right. Amen. If it wasn't for Jack Nixon, Phil Pitts wouldn't be here. How many of you know the fishing story? Do you know it? He was sick, had a high fever, but he wouldn't let it stop him from fishing. Talking about Brother Pitts. He fell out of the boat. Passed out, fell out of the boat. And Jack Nixon pulled him back in. So I don't know about this. I don't know whether it's a friendship or whether it was just mercy or long suffering or. We better get on to somebody else with a microphone. Brother Scott's over here. Where's the microphone? I'm pointing. Y'all look at me and I will point.
I thank God for leading us down here, and I don't know if I don't know how much everybody else knows about what the way the rest of the country is, but up where we used to live, you couldn't find a decent radio station. They just wasn't on the dial, and then be able to find it, you know. Now that we moved down here, I realize it was on the internet, but I don't get on the computer hardly ever. But just to be a part of what's going on here, and to see, I went every night. I was just amazed at just watching how everybody just works together, and everybody is helping each other out, and just the camaraderie and everything. It is a very, very special thing.
Amen.
That is going on here. And it just blesses me to no end to be able to be a part of it, and to be able to see, you know, the antenna, or what, you know, might have been down, the radio station might have been down a little on the power, but God wasn't.
Amen.
And he made sure. My wife was driving to Kissimmee, and she said that the radio station was coming on a lot farther than she'd ever been able to get it. during the marathon there, and so it was just God working all the way through.
Yes.
And like I said, you know, I hope everybody appreciates what's going on here as much as we do, and because it really is a special thing.
Tell you what, he's talking about the power. I was up visiting in the hospitals in Kissimmee just a few days before the Restore-a-thon, and it was fading out where you just couldn't listen to it. Yet that night of the Restore-a-thon, we were getting calls from up there. So God was doing a little something extra there for us, I think. I sure do. All right, maybe somebody else got one or not. I got a 14-point outline here if you don't have any testimonies. Might get through with it by, say, 10 o'clock tonight. That ought to scare you into a testimony.
Thank the Lord for all your prayers for Lewis, because for a minute I didn't think he'd make it to the 3 days, but maybe all this excitement and, you know, kept them going. But I just thank the Lord. He's just so good, and you guys are so faithful for praying, you know, for our family. And our health hasn't been all that this year, but the Lord's just, little by little, we're just going, you know. And I also want to, that phone blitz was something else, because every time that would come on and you guys would announce it on the radio, we were just, let's hurry up and get six in a row, you know, let's get it going, you know. So that was fun and that was exciting. That's something you ought to keep all the time, you know. But I want to thank you all for your prayers.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Sister Cruz. Okay. See no hands anywhere? There we are over there. All right. There's somebody don't want me to speak tonight.
I want you to speak, preacher. Never get tired of it. I was had to be over South Lakeland, where our radio station doesn't come in very well, but I was getting it very well on Friday when I was over there. I was quite surprised, and I had my car, which doesn't get it as well as the van, and so God was. I turned it on. I had to see if God was doing something, and it was very obvious that He was.
Amen.
We've been here 35 years now.
Amen.
And we've prayed and prayed and prayed for each Restore-a-thon, and I've never, the same thing with Faith Missions and the Restore-a-thon, and I can honestly say that even this year and even in past years, there's not been any doubt in our faith that we would make the goal, because God is in this place.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Lee. All right. Was there another hand right there I couldn't see? All right, I do see a couple. Sister Molly right here. I see Brother Terry Donahue over there.
I just thank the Lord for my salvation and the privilege to be here at this church. One will never get tired of saying there is no place like this place, anywhere near this place. This is the place. So, and I'm so thankful for the radio station, thankful for this church, thankful for my pastor. And I'm telling you, I lost 90.3 when I went to Canada. There was an electric storm here, and it blew my radio out, so I had no radio. And Brother Paul says, why don't you listen to it on the internet? So I said, but if I listen to it on the internet, I'll be stuck in my garage, because that's where my internet is. And the power is not high enough for me to hear it through the rest of the house. But during Restore-a-thon, that's where I stayed. I just stayed there in the garage listening to the Restore-a-thon. And what a blessing it was. Even at the end, I went to bed, and then I asked Celia Hayes to wake me when it was near the closing, and she did. She called me and she said, Molly, listen to this. It's phone blitz after phone blitz. And it was so exciting. And I just thank God that we surpassed last year's goal. And it was doubtful, like that my brother said, it was doubtful that we were gonna make even $200,000.
Yeah.
But yet we surpassed, and 2004, 2014. Wow.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Well, I tell you what, there was a few folks did go to sleep at the end. Somebody I live with went to sleep just before the end. Radio was still going when I come in, but she wasn't going. And a lot of that happened to you, but we had a fabulous end, didn't we? Boy, that was, every year it seems something different happens right at the end, don't it? And that was quite unusual, very unusual. What a blessing it was. Brother Terry.
Amen. There are three places in the world of high, high esteem. The White House, the Vatican, and the Bronx. Okay? They have "the" in front of them, make them very special places. I pastored up in the Bronx, the Bible Baptist Church in the Bronx, and I was asked to speak on radio, the Family Net in Hackensack, New Jersey, which beamed into New York City. So I went there, and I was preaching about Sodom and Gomorrah and the homosexuals and all kind of things, and I found out that once I started talking about homosexuals, they cut me off. And I was there talking to myself, you know. But the fact is that they came to me afterwards and they say, "We don't talk that way here." I said, "Well, sin is sin. What difference does it make?" And this was before the situation is today. I've probably been arrested today, but the fact is that I praise the Lord for our radio station. If it's wrong, we're gonna say it's wrong.
Amen.
And if it's right, then we're not going to be ashamed to say it's right, no matter what. And I preacher, I appreciate you. I remember when we first got the FM, and what an exciting time that was to be able to beam all over the area. And the radio station never is shut off in our thrift shop. It is on 24 hours a day. Even when we're not there, the rats listen to it, you know. Or roaches or something anyway, but I know our neighbors hear it. And then in our home, the radio never goes off. We have it on the radio station 24 hours a day. We go to sleep with the radio on. We wake up with the radio on, and Matt Pouch shouting in the radio in the morning. But it's just such a blessing. I remember going back years ago, waking up to Jeff Cruz on the radio. But we've come a long way, and we don't have the weather rock any longer, you know. But the fact is that God has really blessed our church. I'm looking at the mission goals going up, the radio station money going up, and I believe by the end of the year we're going to see the amount of souls saved and the ministry growing. We're back in the growing stage, and I praise God for that. Thank Amen. You, preacher.
Thank you, Brother Terry. Amen. All right. I still, once in a while, do run into somebody that don't know we have the radio station, and that's a good thing, folks, to tell people about. And my wife and I, a time or two, we've been in a home where we were visiting, and they didn't know about us, and we'd help them find it on the dial. And you can do that. And I've noticed this about it. Now, testimonies are kind of going around on the radio station tonight. But after we got it, it was a big step of faith getting on the FM. Now, the story behind the AM is a little different. But the FM was a big step of faith for us when we took it. And didn't know whether we could afford it or not. But I noticed this. It has helped our congregation to grow in what I'd call discipleship or maturity, Christian maturity, because it keeps you up with things, and it's almost like carrying the church with you to some degree, and it's been a blessing that way. Did you have another hand back there, or was that it? Okay. All right, then, open your Bible to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I don't know if maybe I can just wind up here in about 20 minutes. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want to pick up in kind of jumping into it without putting much context on it. Paul's trying to encourage Timothy, of course. He's a young man in the ministry. Some bad things have happened to Paul, humanly speaking, far as being jailed and persecuted. But I think he's really writing encouragement to the young preacher. And he's kind of going into his background, telling him he remembers the unfeigned faith of his grandmother and mother. And he says in verse 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Paul had asked God to take Timothy and use him. And then we could kind of intimate a little bit from the next verse that maybe Timothy was a little bit afraid. Because here's what Paul says to him. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now he says in verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Could you imagine Timothy saying, "Well, if Paul got treated that way, what are they going to do to me?" He could have been thinking that way. Maybe he wasn't. "Nor," Paul says, "though don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner." And he doesn't call himself Rome's prisoner or Caesar's prisoner. He says the Lord's prisoner. "His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Well, there will be those afflictions. There will be those challenges. But Paul, knowing what had been done to him, he didn't say to Timothy, "Don't enter the ministry, it's too tough. Don't hurt like I've hurt. Don't be betrayed like I've been betrayed." He didn't say that. He encourages him to go right on in and to not have a spirit of fear. We look around today and we're seeing, I think, in our day and time, exciting times. I was joking a little bit with Brother Christian about the snow, but I think the record cold up north has been record just about everywhere. Global warming has sure been, ought to be put to shame. I mean, what a joke. Anymore, we live in a day of deception. It's amazing, the lies. Don't believe what your eyes see, your ears hear. Just believe what's said to you officially. That's what's going on today. But there's phenomena everywhere, and you can see it. I mentioned the other night in the sermon that they were trying to find out what the light was. Big bright light on a planet hundreds of thousands of miles away, and they don't know. And we know there is a place up there that one day is going to send out a bright light, and it's going to come all the way to earth, and that's going to be the Lord Jesus. Amen. We can recap the news a little bit. I've kind of missed it the last couple of days, been helping the guys work a little bit. And Prime Minister of Israel's speech was tremendous. I heard reruns of it. I didn't get to hear the whole thing. I heard reruns at night. And I'll tell you, that's very reminiscent of Winston Churchill and others that was trying to warn the world about Hitler. And they wouldn't take the warning. And Netanyahu's speech is warning about nuclear disaster, which was not on the table in the beginning of World War II, but it's on the table now. And there's a number of nations now that have the power to shoot the missiles. And of course, big baby in North Korea is threatening us with his. It's kind of funny to look at him, and isn't it? Reminds me of a bunch of baby fat there that's lost his rattler and he's mad about it. Or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, they claim that even his new hairstyle is supposed to be a nuclear threat. Did y'all see that? Sort of like a mushroom cloud going. Anyway, I can't mock him too much. We got our own funnies in Washington, amen? But as I recap the news, Bibi's speech, I said Bibi, but Prime Minister's speech, honest and plain and true, and yet we had at least 50 congressmen, Democrats, walk out or didn't attend. And then Nancy Pelosi, that great bastion of conservatism, That's the most liberal woman you can imagine. They say, one news lady said that every time everybody else would stand and applaud, she'd stand and turn her back, showing her disrespect. I don't know what, well, I do know. They don't know much, or they know they're fooling with what the Bible says is the apple of God's eye, Israel. I mean, can you imagine? They're sending a message to the Lord. We're doing stupid things in America. I heard on our radio station coming to church tonight that the president had vetoed the Keystone Pipeline. That's the oil line from Canada. And saying it would be an environmental hazard. And at the same time, pictures in the paper of the oil train going off the tracks into the water up there in West Virginia. Just stupid stuff. Then I hear on the news again how many Christians are being killed, and continually that's going on. So the news isn't good. I understand that. I really do. And yet at the same time, the only good part about it is God told us ahead. Now, that don't mean we shouldn't resist it. We should. That we shouldn't identify it and try to push our country to get back to God, all that we should do. I don't think we ought to just sit on our hands and do nothing and say nothing. Amen. But at the same time, we recognize God said evil men would wax worse and worse. Right. And that's what he said. Let me review scripture with you, just some stuff I've shown you before and stuff you know about. But taking the prime minister's speech very seriously, can you imagine, here we've got the nation of Iran threatening, if they can get the nuclear means, blow Israel off the map, calling them the little Satan and calling America the big Satan. Did you see in the news where they made a mock-up of one of our ships out in the water?
Yes, sir.
And then used it for target practice? How come our leaders can't take them at their word that they would blow us up if they could? They're planning it. They are no closer to stopping their nuclear program than the man in the moon. The truth of the matter is, they mean business. And if we just keep on, we're going to have worse than Hitler on our hands, because they've got the nuclear weapons. Reviewing the scripture just a little bit. Go with me. Just go with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 38. I am continually amazed, and of course I've preached and taught prophecy all my ministry. But I'm amazed at the fine detail that God wrote, and then as I watch it fulfilled, just fulfilled, and wonder why in the world that people can't see it. We're living, I believe, in the last days, of course. I believe we're living in the Laodicean church age. And I wonder why preachers that are pastoring and have almost led their church into the Laodicean age can't see that the Bible said that ahead of time. I read some things this last week that blew my mind about what some churches were doing, so-called churches doing, while at the same time on the news, I believe on our radio station this afternoon as I was going home, I heard where, what was it, 58 churches was burned over in Nigeria, burned down, and they were going to every house and every building that was Christian and marking it with paint like a graffiti on the wall, and others coming by where the marks was put on the buildings, burned them down, killing the Christians. What was the reason? Just because they were Christians. That's Islamic. That's not extremist. That's the Islamic religion is what that is. And yet we don't want to admit that, do we? I say we don't. We know who don't. Yeah. Ezekiel 38, look at it with me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, prophesy against them. I'm not going to deal with all this. We've got the word Rosh in here. We can check where the tribes come from. We're recognizing that Meshach is modern-day Moscow, and Tubal here is a modern-day Russian city of Tobolsk. All of this identifies this group. Now, if it didn't identify it that way, All you got to do is take a map and draw a line from Jerusalem to Moscow. You got a direct north, right through it. And the scripture is so plain that the threat to Israel is coming from the north. Now, look at it here. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Watch this. I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth in all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor. That's a big, big sorts. We are everything that's modern today. Even a great company with bucklers and shields. And by the way, the Lord wrote this language so people in that day could understand it. Up until 100 years ago, who in the world would have understood missiles and nuclear bombs and all that? They wouldn't have. Now think, that, kids, that sounds like 100 years sound like a lot, but it's not. It's not. I'm within 20 years almost of 100 years. And I think back as a kid during World War II, small kid, remembering some of that stuff. And I'm simply saying modernization as we have it is a recent thing. My dad still rode a horse to high school. And cars looked like spiders with wheels on them in those days. And the roads took a car like that to go over it. No, hardly any pavement. And yet now we fly from nation to nation and zoom around, just like the book of Daniel said, knowledge increase, many running to and fro, knowledge increase, computer age, all of that business. That's all recent stuff. And then the church going lukewarm and cold and even anti-God in many cases. I read where Laodicean Church the other day advertised and drew a big crowd because they announced they would have a pornographic service. Now, that blows your mind, don't it? And they did, and talked about how the people enjoyed it and how a big crowd came. Now, it's not even right to call a group like that church. Ain't nobody saved in there, I'll guarantee you. But anyway, that's the day and time that we live in. But moving right through Ezekiel here very quickly, put hooks in thy jaws, verse 4. Isn't it interesting today, Mr. Putin and Russia have got economic hooks in their jaws. They are being pulled. They don't want nuclear war, but you watch it, it's building in spite of them. You know, when you catch a fish and you pull this way, he's got a hook in his mouth. He comes, but he don't want to. But he still comes. And so what we're seeing here is some pulling, everybody getting on stage, taking the place on stage that God said they'd be on for the last days. You know who the partner here is? Iran. Look at it in verse 5. Persia. Persia is Iran. Iran was only named, changed from Persia to Iran in less than 100 years ago. In fact, not even that long. Ethiopia, Libya, Libya, we know about that. That's in the bag right now. We know about Hillary and Benghazi and all that business. That was Libya business right there. And Gomer. Could be Germany. Some folks argue it's not. Torgamar here should be in verse 6. Could be Turkey. Maybe. But notice in verse 7, you come on down. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee. And watch this next statement. And be thou a guard unto them. Do you know why Iran is as bold as it is? It thinks Russia is backing them. Same thing with Syria. And when Obama, so-called president, drew the red line in the sand, it was Mr. Putin that come in and rubbed it out. You remember that? It wasn't on Oprah, but it was on the news, okay? I'm just saying, though, right here, this is a nuclear situation building. And when the Prime Minister of Israel is warning, here's one of the things I saw in the rerun of the news. He said that we are paving the way. And here in just a few days now, our leaders, Girls, y'all listen to me. I know what you're talking about is much more important than me, but bluff me out. Make me think you're interested. Look at me. Amen. Here is the thing. He said we're paving the way for them to get the nuclear weapons. In just a few days here in March, we're going to have a meeting to try to work out a treaty, an agreement with Iran, and they're already saying they're not going to do it. See, they're playing for the biggest victory they can have, where we're going to promise them, if you'll just delay for 10 years, then you can have everything. That's crazy. That's crazy. Of course, they're not going to delay for 10 years. Don't get your hopes up there. But a Persia here is Iran today. All of this is coming through. Now, a nuclear blast, the bombs that was dropped on Japan at the end of World War II were peas compared to footballs, compared to what we've got now in size and power. Go with me to the book of Zechariah, and you've heard me do this before, but I want to remind you, the Bible, long time ago, before anybody could spell nuclear, identified a nuclear blast. And here it is in chapter 14 of Zechariah. Now, I want you to find it, so I'm going to help you. Go to that space between Malachi and Matthew in your Bible. I'm being a little facetious with you now. Then go back to your left, and you'll have Malachi. Then when you go back to your left, you'll have Zechariah. And you'll have the last chapter, chapter 14. Chapter 14 describes what happens in a nuclear blast. It's an awful thing. I've told you this before, but I guess we got about 3 or 4 minutes till they get out of the gym over here, kids. I was teaching on a Wednesday night, just like I am right now, in the country church, Forever Come Here, up in Sumter County. I was teaching on a Wednesday night, and whatever my subject was, I went to this chapter, and I started talking about the nuclear blast. I think I was talking about the things the Bible had predicted ahead of time, and one of them was nuclear war, nuclear blast. So I went to this chapter. I had a school teacher, young man, bright young man in my service that night. His wife played the piano. She was very faithful. He was unsaved. He was a nice man, a good character, but he was unsaved. So from time to time, he'd come to church and be a little bit critical. So when the service was over, he come to me and said, that couldn't be a nuclear blast you read tonight. I said, yes, it was. He said, no, it couldn't be. I said, will you do me a favor? Will you go to the school library tomorrow? And will you go in there and will you look up what happened in Nagasaki and Hiroshima in Japan and come back and talk to me about what you found out? He'd come back on Sunday with his head a little bit bowed. He said, preacher, I couldn't believe it. He said, it's almost word for word what the Bible said. Now, the good news is he got saved later, not over that particular incident, but he did get saved later and even become a Sunday school teacher. But I'm saying to you, here it is written 2,800 years ago or more, just like they'd been in World War II and reported it. Look at what it says here. It's called a plague. But look what it says. It says in verse 12, and this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Now in chapter 13, it says all nations are coming against Jerusalem. We see that building now. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. When that young teacher looked it up in the library, that's exactly what happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. There were Japanese soldiers standing against the wall that never fell because their flesh was consumed away off the skeleton. The skeleton was petrified and was still standing against the wall. There were people, some few that even lived a while, that had their eyeballs burned out of the socket, just like it's described right here in the book of Zechariah. God wrote about it in advance. Now, this one hadn't happened yet. He's not talking about Hiroshima and Nagasaki. He's talking about yet future from where you and I live now. He's talking about what the Prime Minister of Israel warned everybody about. We could keep on going. Verse 15. I'm skipping some now. And so shall be the plague of the horse and of the mule and of the camel and of the ass and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. In other words, when it hits, it just killed every living thing. It destroys every living thing. It's a terrible thing. Now, when the atom bomb, after World War II, kids were beginning to be taught, when you see a flash, get onto your desk at school. Too late when you see a flash. Too late. And onto the desk, not going to save nobody anyway. But that started way back in the 50s. Remember that? Somebody said a testimony, something about, was it New Jersey? Somebody said they heard the radio station. You couldn't hear it or did hear it in New Jersey, whatever. I spent one of the most miserable 10 days in New Jersey. That's why I made a crack about it a while ago. My dad and I took a load of watermelons north. We were supposed to get a load of potatoes back south, middle of the summer. We got stuck at a truck stop in New Jersey. Not much of a truck stop. We couldn't get the load. He and I slept in the hay that was left over from the watermelons under the canvas in the back of that truck for a week. We didn't have hardly enough money left to eat, but we had to keep waiting to get that load back. While I was having to wait, and it was hotter than Florida, I wanted to get home to Florida because New Jersey was the worst. Oh, it was hot, and around that particular place, the house flies was bad. I wanted to get home. I was 15, I believe I was 15. And somewhere in that truck stop, I read every book they had in there, and they didn't have many. But one of them I picked up was a little old paperback. We're talking about in the 50s now, early 50s. And that little old paperback was somebody's imagination about missiles being shot from Russia and China at America. And we didn't know much about missiles then, but they were predicting pretty well what would happen today as they were in a nuclear exchange. And I read it, and I didn't believe much of it, didn't know none, it was fiction. Somehow or another, they tied a romance in there somewhere. Man and woman in the dugout, and the missiles coming, and all that stuff. But it's interesting now that the worst of men's imagination back then can be a reality right now. Right. It sure can. It sure can. I did get home by the grace of God. Daddy gave me $25, and he said, son, school's starting. Hitchhike home. And when you get home, remember, Mama don't have any money. So save all this you can on the trip. I did. I think I got home with $23 and gave it to Mama, and I like to starve to death. I hear about somebody won't eat a raw potato. I never want to try to eat a raw potato again. That's all I had in the back of that truck was raw potatoes. And you finally get to the point of starvation, you'll eat one. But I made it home, obviously. But anyway, I'm coming. I want you to go back to what I started off with. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Go back and think about it. Do you know who we are? We're saved. Heaven's our home. We're the winners. We got the victory. and all this stuff, I fear for the innocents. I fear for the horror of it. When's it gonna come? I don't know. It might be 10 years or 20 or 30. I don't know. It could be quicker. I don't know. But I know it's all right if I'm saved. Amen. Somebody says, where's your bomb shelter? Up there. Amen. You know, some folks want to hide in a hole in the ground. I'm going to hide in a hole in the sky. Amen. Go up when the Lord calls. And so I don't have a spirit of fear. And somebody says, that preacher must be scared. He's talking about that all the time. No, no, no. The only thing I'm scared about is people dying lost, going to hell when they could get saved and won't take the warnings of what is out there. It's not only coming from a good pulpit, it's coming from the news that people ought to get saved. Now, let me say this. It ought to encourage you and I to witness. Because listen to me, the lost world out there knows things are bad, and they don't have an answer. But we do. And we're obligated to God to share that answer.